At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Well, man. Hello, everyone. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, joined, as always, by his good friend, your good friend as well, David Ungar. Two men, different coasts, living the dream. Fully expected to be talking about a sweep today.
Yep.
And as the great Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. We still have a Stanley Cup playoffs going on as we record this here on Sunday, June 16th. Before we get into the Stanley Cup playoffs or the Stanley Cup final, Dave, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, and to all the daddies out there. Even you know,
that's,
yeah, all of them. Everybody, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
Baby daddies, baby. Yeah.
And how are we spending our Father's Day recording podcasts for all of you?
That's dedication or something.
Levitation, Holmes. Oh, sorry, that's a Jack Black song. I don't know about you. I got nothing for Father's Day.
Yeah, me neither. I spent 5 hours on the golf course yesterday, which was way too fucking long. But you know, everybody and their mom was out there.
Nice.
It was a choice.
I took the little O'Dowd to a local vintage arcade / bar called The Quarters in Hadley, Massachusetts. And every Saturday and Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon, it's $15 all you can play, free cereal bar, a cereal bar included as part of it. They run Saturday morning cartoons on their big screen while you play arcade games. And he had a great time. We hadn't been there in a while. And he was like, we should make this a weekly thing. I was like, well, maybe not a weekly. He was like, how about a monthly? He's like, he got introduced to video games in the 80s and 90s where, you know, the game is designed for you to lose your quarters. And so he got to experience all the joys and frustrations that came along with that day playing various games that made no sense. I played Galaga. That's my go-to.
That man is playing Galaga. Thought we wouldn't notice, but we did.
what was kind of crazy. So I like to think of myself as a solid Galaga player. Like, if I score less than 150,000 on a game and don't get to around level 20 or so, I consider it a disappointment. So I go in like I always do. And when I go to this place relatively often, my buddy DJ's karaoke there on Thursday nights. So I will go there after I finish bowling. So I go over there and the first thing I'll do is I'll go to the Galaga machine and I make it my goal that whatever the high score is for the day, I'm going to beat it and put my name at the top. So I did that. yesterday, you know, yesterday morning with the Little O'Dowd. I put in my name with my 130,000 points, feeling like this is solid. I walked back later. Somebody put up 336,000 points. I was like, you know what? You got me. I got nothing on that. Good on that guy or gal. Whoever put up 336,000 points on Galaga, you earned it.
Yeah, my wife was at Disneyland with several of her grandkids because she's got a few of them. And one of them is now, I think he's 15 now. He's the one I was watching, or 16, or 15 or 16. He's the one I was watching Flash Gordon with the other night. So he texts me while they're on Smuggler's Run, and he's like, my younger brothers are the pilot and the co-pilot. He's like, we've already taken damage and we're not even out of the hangar yet. I'm like, that's not good, Bob. Not good. And then they somehow we wrangled two coaxials, and I'm like, that's probably you on the gunner or the engineer. So, fun stuff.
Very, very fun stuff. Yeah, you know, we're gonna talk. Like, let's talk about something that has not been fun for the Edmonton Oilers until yesterday, and that is the Stanley Cup Final. Where when we talked about Game One last week, you and I kind of were in different places with regards to kind of how we felt about the end of Game One. You were like, look, Edmonton for two periods was clearly the superior team, playing really, really well. And I think they have a lot of positives to take out of that Game One, even though they lost the game. And I took the other side of, look, I would be extraordinarily concerned because Florida was able to dictate and dominate that third period and really play their game and put it away. They did the same thing in Game 2 and Game 3, which did not feel like contests at all, at all. Like, Edmonton scored first in Game 3, and I think you texted me right after they did it, like, well, here's the turnaround. And then...
I think I was kidding around about it, but...
Right. And then right after that, Florida was like, no thanks, and what, four unanswered goals or something like that?
Yeah, I texted you, and I was like, because it was like 1-1, and then Florida just tacked on three in rapid succession. And I was like,
wow, yeah, and that was, this was the other thing that was funny about us following these games, everybody is. It seems like when one of us was watching the game, the other one was not. So I watched Game 2 while Dave was on the links. Dave was watching Game 3 while I was, I think I was just out drinking at a bar that had no television on. I might have been bowling, but then I probably went to a bar afterwards. It's things that Patrick does for fun. But regardless of how it went, Florida really has been not just like winning, like they've been in control. It's really been playing their pace. And as we've talked about, stars for Edmonton needed to be stars, and they were not really all that present. Connor McDavid, I will argue, was trying to do anything and everything he could. He was the only guy for a couple games there that looked like he had any investment in trying to put the puck in the goal. But Florida was like, we're not going to let you do it. Like, and they really stifled him. And Draisaitl, I don't know where he's been, but he had not been present. He'd been really effectively taken out of the game. And so we rolled into, I think we texted each other about, wow, who would have thought going into these playoffs that both in the NBA and the NHL, we'd be looking at a possible sweep in both ends. And neither team allowed that to happen, and they did it in an emphatic way. Here's the thing. This is, while great for Edmonton and a load off their shoulder, like, it doesn't change anything, in my opinion. Like, we're all back to Florida. Florida, I think Florida closes it out in five. You were like pull Bob. Maybe you do, and I'm sure they did eventually. I didn't watch the game. But no, you pull Bob, you pull him, whatever. That's a pull him, regroup him for, you know, the game on June 18th when this podcast drops.
Yeah, there was no reason to keep him in when it was clearly out of control. And it just, yeah, get somebody else in there. This game's done. But yeah, it's funny how the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals are really mirroring each other.
Blowouts.
Dallas responded in Game 4 and just had one of the third largest rout in NBA Finals history. You never want to say that any team would, because they just wouldn't do it at this stage. When you have a chance to win a championship, you're not tanking to go home and win it on your home court. But it sure looked like both teams really took their foot off the gas. And the opponent played desperate, played to win. with this series, if there is a reason to maybe be concerned, it is, you know, can Florida turn that switch? Because they took their foot off the gas in the third period in game three, and it got close, you know, a lot closer than I thought. And if you look at the last four periods, Edmonton's outscored Florida 10-1. Now, I agree with you that Florida's got the advantage for sure. You know, you're up 3-1, you're going home. But Edmonton may have figured out a few things or figured out a couple ways to play this, and Florida might need to change up, maybe change some lines, change up their style. I think game five is going to just be Florida's going to come out on fire, and Edmonton's going to have to weather that storm, because in front of that crowd, that first 10 minutes is good. If they can come out of that unscathed, you know, but I think right now, even though it's 3-1, I think the pressure is kind of on Florida. You don't want to lose this game and go back to Edmonton for a game six and have everything start to really build momentum the opposite way. And that could happen if they don't reassert their brand of hockey, you know, and I just, it just felt last night like they gave up the shorthanded goal and it opened the floodgates. And then they just never really reasserted Panther style hockey that they, you know, they had really just subdued everything that Edmonton had tried to do for 2 2/3 games. Right. And then things just kind of turned around a little bit, but yeah, I agree. The Florida should win this thing in five. They're too good of a team and too well coached. And I'm sure their coach has got them on blast as like, what the fuck were you guys doing last night? That stuff happens, but yeah, I like Florida to put this away.
I by the way, it's adorable sometimes hearing yourself try to like give a convincing argument in the other direction. Like, well, maybe this will happen.
It kind of goes with my profession a little bit, right?
Yeah, you try to lawyer the shit out of this. I get it. But no, nah, yeah, it's just, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I see this being, you know, they'll get refocused. And once they get refocused back on the prize, they'll be fine come game five. I think it's really interesting, and I shared this graphic with you. Prior to game four, the Oilers' top five point scorers in the regular season had failed to score a single goal in the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, we talk about Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, but Zach Hyman, Evan Bouchard, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins, all without goals. Yeah. And, you know, Alexander Barkov had a lot to do with that. Amongst others, I think that's stifling defense. That's my thought. So
yeah, I think it'll be a wake up call, like you said. That's the kind of beating that gets your attention. And I mean, if you're Florida, you don't want to let that momentum swing back, because unlike basketball, where the odds of Dallas coming back from 3-0 down to win the series are astronomical, because it's never happened.
Right.
Hockey, it's happened very infrequently.
It has happened, yeah.
But what, not in the finals since 1942 or something like that. But yeah,
Right.
I just think, yeah, Florida will come out. They'll be refocused. They will take it to them right away. Edmonton doesn't have the depth. So yeah, if they're not getting their top stars scoring, if McDavid isn't doing, you know, I mean, but they did some smart stuff in the last game. A lot of like get to the front of the net, go for deflections. A couple of the goals that Bobrovsky gave up weren't, they weren't soft, but they weren't overtly challenging when you look at some of the stuff that he did. But Skinner made a big save when it was like 2-1. And it could have been tied up.
You wonder if the way Edmonton ended game three, you know, they didn't win the game, much like we talked about it, much like I talked about game one in Florida. But Edmonton goes down 4-1. They only lose 4-3. Edmonton. Yeah. So I guess I do see the possibility there. That something could happen.
Well, they've definitely got, right? You look at these last four periods. Okay, it's been all
Edmonton. They played a lot better.
It's been all Edmonton. So
I think you're right. I think the first 10 minutes of game five tells you all you need to know about where we're going from there.
Florida gets a quick goal. It could be a really, I mean, remember last year.
I will get a text from you. Backbreaker. Backbreaker.
Well, I mean,
remember last year,
in game five, similar situation, Vegas jumped all over Florida in that.
And then
game.
They just left no doubt.
And they left no doubt. And I think Florida, they should be watching film of that game saying, this is what we need to do. We need to just knock them out as quickly as we can, fill them with doubt, shut down every lane. If you got to go lockdown defense after you get up by a couple of goals, whatever. But, you know, without that crowd, that crazy crowd in Edmonton really urging them on, because they did get some energy off of that.
Yep.
It's going to be a tough hill for them to climb. But the cool thing is, for, you know, because of the schedule, this episode will drop and we still won't know the outcome when it airs. So it'll be current.
Hey, you know, we do what we can here to orchestrate the playoffs to a way that we see fit. All right. And then we'll react to whatever we're reacting to come next week, where we will have a presumptive Stanley Cup champion, and then we'll start entering into offseason mode. We'll start talking draft and then musical chairs time. It'll be great. What we are going to do, though, is we are going to take a quick commercial break. We come back. I got a little news tidbit that came out of St. Louis I'd like to talk about. I don't know what you got on your docket.
We got a team name in Utah to talk about.
We do have a team name in Utah to talk about as well. So we're going to do that. All that and more when we come back. You're listening to Hockey Talk on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
So, confession time. You know why I forgot about the Utah thing?
Because it's Utah?
Well, because as I was scrolling down, much like with Bandwagon Nerds, Dave and I share news bits in a private chat, in a DM chat that we go back and forth. The Utah announcement was like some video that is so unimpressive that I forgot I shared it. Yeah. So we'll talk about that last. Let's wrap on. We'll wrap up by talking about Utah and its new NHL franchise team name or lack thereof. Let's first talk about my favorite team in the whole world, the St. Louis Blues. So last one, June 12th, Blues organization had sent a post on X that teased this major announcement for the St. Louis Blues organization the following day at like 10 or 11 o'clock, whatever it was, Central Time, that was going to significantly impact the future of the club. And yeah, they kind of did, as they announced a succession plan, basically, for the front office, the general manager's office in St. Louis for the St. Louis Blues. As they announced, as St. Louis Blues chairman Tom Stillman and president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong today made a major announcement regarding the future of the organization's hockey operations. Armstrong has signed a 3-year contract extension to continue leading the club as president of hockey operations through 28-29 seasons. Club also named Alexander Steen, former Blues player Alexander Steen, as special assistant to the GM through the 25-26 season, after which he will be appointed as the 12th general manager in franchise history. Club also announced that Tim Taylor has been promoted to join Ryan Miller as an assistant general manager with the club. Taylor will continue to oversee player personnel while Miller oversees salary cap compliance, contract negotiations, and other hockey operations responsibilities. A little bit of backstory on Doug Armstrong is he's been such a fixture in the Blues front office for so long, I had lost track of how long he'd been the GM. He's been the GM for 15 seasons. Going into 24-25. He is the winningest general manager in St. Louis Blues history. He is fifth. He's led the Blues to the fifth most regular season wins in the NHL during his tenure. And of course, you know, in 2019, we had the big, big year where the Blues won the Stanley Cup. 2012, he won the NHL General Manager of the Year Award. So he's had a really solid tenure. And when I shared the message with you at first, I did not read the fine print of the contract and thought that it was just that Armstrong was moving into only the president of hockey operations role and that Alexander was now moving in as the GM right away. And I was like, this dude retired like 3 years ago and now he's a GM. The fudge. And you do come to learn, if you paid attention, he has been a part of the Blues hockey operations department. He's been serving as a European development consultant. So he's assessed, you know, he's done assessment for Blues prospects overseas, knowing that he does have some front office experience on his own and is now doing this assistant to the GM thing. I feel better about this than I did when I initially sent you the post. I know you're probably not as into it as I am. I don't expect you to be, but this is the sort of plan you would hope other organizations would follow in trying to maintain their success when they're seeing it. My big problem is that the Blues have not exactly been setting the world on fire for the last 3 years or so. And I wonder what the real impetus of this move is. It's clear that the Blues love keeping Army around, but you know, maybe there was too much on his plate. And so we moved it off and we're promoting. Maybe it's just looking at a fresh perspective for the organization as well. New direction. Because sometimes, you know, 15 years is a long time in the world of sports to be with one team as a GM.
Do you, cause yeah, like you said, I don't know much about what's going on with the Blues, but, do you think that this is kind of a sign that they're going to be more aggressive in free agency? I mean, there are some pretty good free agents out there. I think Zegras is the one, a lot of trade rumors about him, things like that.
Yep.
Do you think that this is kind of a sign that, because, I mean, the Blues are kind of, you know, this is what's fun about this podcast, doing this with you, because our teams very much mirror each other. You know, Caps breakthrough right in 2018, Blues breakthrough the next year. And ever since then, we've both been middle of the pack. You know, we both kind of had the same thing in 2020 where both teams were doing well And then we went into the bubble and everything just kind of fell apart. And I think right now they're both two teams are really in the middle of the pack, and they could either go into rebuild mode or they could remain, you know, relevant and competitive, maybe add a few pieces and take that next step. So from the Blues perspective, do you see this as a sign that maybe they're looking to get more competitive, or how do you see their perspective right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they recognize that a change needed to happen at the player personnel level and who is bringing in talent. I think that one of the things that has always frustrated me with, like, every St. Louis organization that I follow, this includes the Cardinals, they love to stay within the family, so to speak. And so, you know, Steen is doing great things over in Europe, like, and with that talent evaluation, he does have an eye for talent and player development. I do think that this is, and transitioning this way tells me that, you know, and again, Armstrong is a good general manager, and I don't know where they'll differ philosophically. I don't see this being a sub wholesale rebuild with a new GM. I see this as, here's how we've done things, here's how we're doing things, maintain that legacy and put your own spin on it, if that makes sense.
I guess it does. And I mean, Armstrong's a good GM, but you got the Blues have had some pretty big losses personnel wise the past few
years.
Tarasenko, O'Reilly, things like that.
But we couldn't afford it. Right. Like a couple things happened. The pandemic really fucked things up in a lot of ways. And it's really interesting to see. I think because it's such an interesting, and like everything in the world when it comes to sports teams, it's not one linchpinning moment that really leads to a decline in a team. But you and I have talked about this a ton. Before the NHL shut down for the pandemic, the Blues were not just winning. They were dominating the division. They were one of the top teams in the league. Something weird happened when they came back to the bubble, and they were never the same team. Whether that was the talent, something happened with Berube, something happened where they stopped listening to Craig Berube, like whatever happened, that then put Armstrong in a position of, well, I guess we don't have a dynasty. We now got to start selling off our piece. And, you know, and Tarasenko was notoriously like, he had wanted out for a couple of years. Yeah. He was a good soldier. We finally let him go. You know, I think that the decision to let Pietrangelo go was one of the worst decisions Doug Armstrong could have possibly made. I loved Alex Pietrangelo. When we let him go, that was horrible. But, you know, this is part of being a general manager. He gambled on young talent that didn't quite pan out the way that he'd hoped it would. I want to believe that.
Did you just make the Blues your X-Files?
I did. I want to believe that Alexander Steen is going to come in and be able to make some shakeups and some changes, and we'll see where that goes and whether the Blues jump up into the, you know, into the competitive headspace right away, or if they stay this middling squad as they kind of build within their own farm system. Farm says baseball thing. You know what I mean? I don't know that he's going to make a splash, if that's what you're acting like. I don't think he's going to make a splash signing. I don't think he's going to make a splash trade. I don't think you bring up a guy, make him the protege of the guy who hasn't been making splash signings, and then you expect him to make a splash signing. Like, it's just not what you're going to do.
Yeah, I don't envy the job of your GM, Armstrong, or my GM, Brian McClellan, because really, when you're the Blues or the Caps, where do you go? Because you're not in a position where, you know, even I mean, the Caps are tethered to the Alex Ovechkin chasing down Gretzky's record. So you really can't rebuild completely without jeopardizing that. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you're more than one player away from being truly, I mean, what they accomplished this year was nothing short of remarkable. The sweep to the Rangers notwithstanding, just getting there was so unexpected. Right. And the Blues are kind of like, yeah, you know, what do you add? Where do we add? You've got the advantage that there is no milestone of all milestones hanging over your guy's head to really kind of scale things back. But yeah, I'll be really interested once we get to free agency to see what both of our teams do as to what direction, you know, are we in, you know, maintain the status quo sort of thing, or are we going in a certain direction, either in one direction or the other? So it's fun. You know, our teams it'll be great when we end up in the Stanley Cup finals in like a decade against each other. So
right. Who knows? And I'll, like I said, I'll be intrigued to see what direction the new regime takes. We still got one more year of Doug Armstrong being the quote unquote learning tree for our boy, Alexander Steen. Okay. So last week, to wrap up the show, with a PC Tunny in the windows distracting us. We were going over the option for people to vote on for the final team name of the Utah National Hockey League. And there were some really interesting names like the Yeti, and I've already forgotten all the other Blizzard, ones, like the Blizzard,
the Outlaws.
Like all these names. And the least interesting name to me was the Utah Hockey Club. And so, of course, Dave, the Utah Hockey Club seems to be the name that we have, as we got a post that said the ink is dry. It was retweeted by the NHL, although this isn't a verified account yet, which is odd.
Nobody has denied this either. So,
but apparently the name of our new hockey team in the state of Utah is the Utah Hockey Club.
Let's see. So
here, I want to read a couple comments here under the X Twitter post. From this guy, RC Blue 5, saw how the Washington football team went and said, yes, we can do that just as bad.
That's right. Before you go on, I just want to say, so Pat, you sent this to me, Utah Hockey Club, the ink is dry, so forth and so on. Join us on this journey. You were like, they went dull. And my response to you after looking at the video was, oh, for fuck's sake.
Right.
I mean,
here's the thing. This is the definition of a non-offensive team name. Like, there is nothing, like, the only thing you can get upset about is that it's not a particularly creative or exciting name. Like, that's it. But God, yeah, I was like, I was Team Yeti all the way. You knew that. Like, Utah Yeti.
I would have been literally fine with anything other than Utah Hockey Team. Literally anything other than that, and I would have been
Hockey
like,
Club, sir. Hockey Club. Hockey Club.
Right. Got it. Because it's like, it just feels like this is not a soccer team. You know, now that's a different thing. And what Washington did was a knee jerk reaction because Dan Snyder and all of his stupid ignorance had no contingency plan for when they got rid of the Redskins. No contingency plan. And it's Washington football team. And they could have kept that. And, you know, there was nothing wrong. There were a lot of people in D.C. who wanted that name to be kept because it kind of stuck. But yeah, it's just it doesn't translate well to hockey and marketing and things that you've got a brand new team. You've got a good, solid fan base. They brought these guys there. And what's your logo going to be? A big U? It's a big U surrounded by mountains in the background. I don't know.
The logo, I do believe, is the Twitter handle the ex Twitter handle photo, like their profile picture. So,
I mean,
maybe it's that. Yeah, here's the thing. I wanted something more dynamic and exciting. I understand why they picked the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I'm looking at that logo and it's just like, God damn, that's boring. But
yeah, create a coat of arms. And
but
see what
you
happens.
Know, Utah Salt Lake City is not exactly known for their creativity. The Utah Utes. Utes.
What's a Ute?
Yeah.
It was funny to me because I was like, man, is Utah, well, let's ask the hard-hitting questions. Is Utah the most boring state in the United States?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, anybody listening in Salt Lake City. If you're new and you're listening to Hockey Talk, I am not trying to offend you. But
I've been to Nebraska, I can tell you.
I'll take
are some boring-ass states out there.
I'll take Salt Lake City over Lincoln for 2,500, Alex, that sort of thing. But look at the basketball team, the Utah Jazz. They were the New Orleans Jazz. They moved to Utah. No one bothers to change the name. Jazz is not a staple of Salt Lake City. Has never been, never will be. It's like when the Lakers moved to Los Angeles. Like, there's like two lakes in Los Angeles.
Right. You're citing the movie Basketball. I don't know if you're doing that intentionally or unintentionally, but the very beginning of the movie, Basketball, for those of you who've never seen it, I find it to be quite funny. It's very immature.
I need to watch
it. Stone, Trey Parker. You've never seen Basketball?
I've seen parts of it.
So the opening of this movie, though, is there's like this voiceover talking about the deterioration of sports and how basketball rose to popularity. And at one point, they're like, the Lakers moved from Minneapolis to Los Angeles, where there are no lakes. The Jazz moved from New Orleans to Utah, where they don't allow music. Like, that's the joke.
Oops. The Oakland Raiders moved from
Oakland to Los Angeles and back to Oakland. Nobody seemed to care. It's a very funny, it's a movie that doesn't get the credit that it deserves because it is so stupid. Like, it's a very stupid movie, but I enjoy it thoroughly. Nothing that you would expect with a film starring the two creative minds behind South Park. However, kids, a little bandwagon nerds trivia for you. Matt Stone and Trey Parker did not write, direct, or have too much to do with the movie Basketball other than being the lead actors and being allowed to kind of improvise everything they wanted to. So they're a brand of humor, but they weren't the ones really behind the movie.
Well, that is some trivia there, but I don't know, man. I mean, maybe it's a transitional sort of thing. You know, maybe they try it out for a couple of years. They see how it resonates. And if it doesn't work out so well, they can always switch.
I'm not that passionate about it. I just think it's funny that they chose the most boring name.
It's ironic. They could have stayed the Utah Coyotes because there are coyotes in Utah, quite a bit of them, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
That wasn't even on the table. So it's like.
It's outstanding. Cool. All right. Well, on that note, next week we will be talking about a Stanley Cup champion.
Should be, right? I mean, okay, so we got.
I would think so. We got three games to go.
Yeah, game five will be Tuesday. They're taking 2 days for travel. If it goes to game six, Friday.
Maybe it goes to seven. Maybe not. We'll see. It's insane that we're that far down the river,
I'm looking at schedule. Right now.
That's cool, man. All right. Well, as Dave looks at the schedule, and I'm sure he'll tell you what's up with that as soon as he looks it up, I will go ahead and tell everybody where they can find me for a change first on the socials and Chair Shot Radio Network. You can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling List at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can listen to me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays, I'm talking nerd stuff with Dave, PC Tunney, Scientist DP, sometimes Ray Cash, all kinds of guys. Tuesdays, Hockey with Dave, and soon Musical Chair Season 4. Can't believe that one's gone that far, but there we are. And then Wednesdays, I'm talking wrestling with one Greg DeMarco on The Greg DeMarco Show. We may do two shows in a row.
It's a streak.
In The Greg DeMarco Show. We're focused. Maybe we'll talk about Jade Cargo. Anyway, Dave, if we go seven, how far does it go?
Game seven would be Monday the 24th. So it is possible this will not be over by the time we record next week.
We could be talking about a game seven that will have been played by the time our show drops.
And honestly, if we're talking about games, I don't think so either. But if we're talking about game seven a week from now,
that's a comeback for the ages.
That's a lot to talk about. So that is.
Then you are sounding the alarm bells for Florida.
Yeah,
absolutely. Tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/ Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, and on Instagram and Threads.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see. Maybe we'll have a game seven to get excited for. Maybe not. I hope we do. Unfortunately, I'm going to stick to my guns and say this is done in five. I hope I'm wrong. Off-season talk, in my opinion, is boring. It's why it always takes us a little while to get back into the swing of things. For David Ungar, this is Patrick O'Dowd. Have a great week, everybody. You've been listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.